Let's go to the Word of God, all right? So John chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 16 here in just a moment. I want to have a word of prayer just to settle my heart a little bit. Father, Lord, it's been a busy day, and I just pray right now, Lord, you'll calm my spirit, calm my thoughts, give me clarity in my thought and my speech. And I pray, God, that you'll just bless in the service now, in this part of our service, as we look to your Word. I pray that you'll use the message this morning to challenge us, to encourage us, to draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray we'll leave here this morning closer to you than when we came in. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as Savior, someone that has not been truly born again, saved from their sin, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. But Lord, I pray that we'll all right now come before your Word with humility and ready to receive what it is that you want to share with us. I pray people don't hear me, Lord. Let them hear you. I just pray, God, that I would just be a voice. God, your tool, your instrument this morning to convey your message. So work through this time, God, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of the message is this. Do you want to walk on water? Anybody want to walk on water? I'd like to walk on water. I'd love to be able to walk on water. I think most of us would love to walk on water. We'd love to be able to do that. So we want to achieve something amazing, accomplish something incredible, do the impossible. That's kind of the idea when we talk about walking on water. It's an impossible thing. Now, I love Westerns. If you know me kind of well, you've probably figured that out. I like Westerns. I like the old Western movies. I like the Western TV series. Some of those were really good. The books, I like Louis L'Amour novels, the Western novels. And here's the thing about most great Westerns. Most of the Westerns, at some point in the movie, they were going to be playing cards, right? They're going to be around a table playing cards. And at some point, somebody in there is going to go all in. They're going to put everything they have is going to go into the pot. And that's this idea of going all in. What does that mean? You know, it means that everything they have is on the table. They're risking everything with what they're doing right there when they go all in. And we understand that concept of all in. In sports, you know, we understand that concept, the idea of going all in. When I was working with FCA, now it's been six, 7 years ago, but one of the years, every year they have a camp theme, and then they use that theme all throughout the year. And one year the theme was all in. And so we understand that in sports. I'm going all in. I'm all in for the team. I'm giving everything I got to my team, to help my team do the best it can. And so we get the idea of that, what it means to go all in. If it's with our money, if it's with our time, if it's with our efforts, whatever it is, we understand this idea. But here's the thing. One thing that often prevents folks from going all in is fear. We're fearful. We get scared about something, and we don't go all in. Does anybody in here ever have fear? Now, if I had everybody raise your hand if you ever struggle with fear. All right, so the rest of you can repent of not being honest afterwards. All right, so I think if we're honest, I think we all at some point we have some kind of fear. And so here's the question. Have you ever not done something that you knew you should do because of fear? And you know, there's great regret that comes with that, right? When there's something you go, man, I know I should have done that. I was supposed to, but I didn't do it because I was scared at the moment or for whatever reason. Maybe it's something that you really wanted to do, but you didn't because you were afraid. Now, I can share a quick testimony of that in our life. Gina and I, the end of 2008, I had gotten a call from a church in Indiana about going up to be the associate pastor there. And I went up and we candidated, and they offered me the position. I accepted the position, went back to Georgia to get everything lined up to make the move. We had a little time to do that, get the house on the market. Well, we put the house on the market. If you remember, end of 08 and 09, the market was just a crash. I mean, the market had just crashed, the housing market. And so we put our house on the market. Nobody was even sniffing, you know, our house. Nobody was kicking the tires, nothing. And so I got fearful. And I got to thinking, man, can we go to Indiana and buy a house or have a place, afford rent up there and have a place in Georgia paying for that? And I got my eyes on the problem instead of on what God had called us to do. And I really got scared. I'll be honest with you, if I'm really honest, and I want to be honest with you, I think at the core of it, I was just scared. mean, it was a big move for us. It was a big change for me. I didn't feel like I was qualified to do the job. I didn't feel like I was, I mean, I really was scared that I'd go up there and fall on my face. And that probably was an excuse that was used, but I was fearful. And so what I did was I backed out of going. I told the pastor, I said, listen, I'm not going to be able to go. I can't do it. I can't sell my house. I can't move. I said, but here's what I'll do. If anything changes, if the situation changes, you know, and you haven't filled the position, I'll call you back, and maybe we can still work this out. Hedging my bet a little bit, I guess, there. And we go a few weeks. And this is what was so amazing about this situation. Gina and I, we had been willing to go to Indiana. We were willing to go if that's where the Lord really wanted us to go, but we were fearful of that. And then as we go to church, every message, it's like the pastor is pointing his finger at me and preaching at me. I mean, I'm like, man, will you stop? What have you been reading my email? What are you doing? Stop it. And I'm nudging Gina. I said, you hear that? What? Why would he? You know, so we got that going on. So I stopped and I picked up a book at the bookstore one day. I'm not going to tell you the book, but I'm reading it. It's a Christian writer, but I'm reading the book. I'm coming on these quotes and I'm going, Gina, listen. And Gina is ignoring me because Gina didn't want to go in the cold and she didn't like the cold. She didn't want to go to the cold. And so she shut it out. We're not going, and I'm not listening now. That's what I'm seeing with her. But I'm reading. I'm going, listen, Gina, listen to what he says here. And now I'm like, man. And so I'm starting to feel like maybe I missed it. So the Lord used his word. He used a book. He used the pastor. He used circumstances at our job. And here's what, when I wasn't going to Indiana, the church we were attending hired me for a part-time position. I'm 4 days in the position, and I'm sitting there in the office one day, and I went, I'm in the wrong place. I knew it. And it about killed me. It broke my heart. I thought, man, I have missed the will of God in this. And I've missed it because of fear. Because I was scared of this. I was scared of this change. I was scared of the unknown. It broke my heart. And so through a strange set of circumstances, I go home. Anyway, I go home and I tell Gina. I said, Gina, do you trust me? She said, yeah. I said, well, I think we missed God's will on this. I think we were supposed to go to Indiana. And she about breaks down. She says, I think we were too. I think we missed it. I felt the same way. And so God has been working on my heart to change from I would be willing to go to Indiana to now I'm like, I can't believe I missed this. He laid this out for me. It was such an incredible opportunity, and I've missed it. And so I made a phone call to a friend of mine. I'm talking to him about it. He said, listen, if God's in it, it's not over. If God is in it, if it's his will, then it's not over. He said, you need to make a phone call. So I called the pastor up there. He doesn't answer. I'm like, well, now he's screening my calls. He don't want to call me. He's traveling. He's interviewing somebody else. All that's running through my head. Long story short, I go up for an ordination of one of my best friends that's up there. And the pastor said, if you come up for the ordination, we'll talk. And what happened was he said, when you said you weren't coming, people were asking me, what are we going to do? He said, we're not doing anything. He said, I don't believe God's finished in this yet. And so Gina and I went from being willing to go to Indiana to wanting to go to Indiana. Now, here's the difference. The difference is every snowstorm, every 40 below zero, every leaky faucet, every flat tire, when you're willing to do something, there's a different feel. Yeah, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be to where nothing was a problem. We loved our whole time because we knew that's exactly where God wanted us to be. And so, man, we were so excited about that. But we almost missed out on that because we were fearful. There's a lot of different fear, right? There's fear of failure. There's fear of embarrassment. There's fear of the spotlight. There's fear of public speaking. There's fear of, look, this is a big one, fear of commitment. Well, I don't want to make a commitment because then, you know, then I'm kind of locked into that. I'm fear of that. Fear of responsibility. Folks don't want to have responsibility. Kind of goes in with the commitment thing. Fear of the unknown is huge. Yeah, you got to lay it all out. I got to be able to see it before I can do it. You know, Indiana Jones, anybody see Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade? Anybody seen that? You know what I'm talking about? That's where Sean Connery's in there. Indy's there is this big trench. It's here, and he has to take a leap from the lion's head. And so he's there, and he's looking, and there's nothing there. And it's like he can't jump across. I got to do this leap from the lion's head. I'm not doing it off the stage. I'm going to do it from back here. So what he does is he takes this step, and he says it has to be a step of faith, the step of faith. And so he does this, and he goes, and to his surprise, it was there. And it wasn't until he stepped out by faith that then he could see that there was a walkway there that he couldn't see from the perspective before. It was there. God works that way. When we take that step of faith, His hand is right there. He's going to sustain us. He's going to keep us up. And that's a, man, what a picture of that, taking a step of faith and trusting God that He's going to, and you cannot see it until you step out. It's the whole thing with Peter that we're going to look at here in a moment. But there's this fear of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to turn out. And if I don't have those answers, I just can't do it. You know what? That's not faith. That's not trust. We've got to be able to trust God and step out by faith. So we got to get over the fear of the unknown. There's even a fear of success. People are fearful of success. Well, if it goes really well, then this may happen in more demand or whatever. There's a fear of success. There's a lot of reasons, fear-wise, that we miss out on things. And so this is the subject for us this morning. You know, are you all in with Jesus? Are you all in with Jesus? See, it's very simple. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. If you're going to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 16. Now, when evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. So the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. Now, we're going to go back to Matthew, because Matthew gives more detail. I understand John's written later. He doesn't have to go into great detail here. They already have. The disciples already had recorded. Matthew and Mark both record this. They go into greater detail. We know that they did not know. We know from Matthew they didn't know it was Jesus. Why didn't they know it was Jesus? Because they weren't looking for Jesus. I shared this a couple weeks ago. If they had been looking for Jesus in the storm, when He comes walking up, they wouldn't have been like, "What's that walking on the sea?" They would have said, "Oh, there comes Jesus. We've been looking for You." They weren't looking for Him. Their eyes were on the storm. Folks, we go through life every day. Life is a storm, amen? Life is a storm. We're going to talk more about storms, but life is a storm. And as we go through life, if we're not looking for Jesus, we're going to fail to see Him in every situation. We need to look for Him in every situation. But they don't know it's Him. He's coming and they're afraid. And He says to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And so the Lord tells us all through Scripture, we get it all through Scripture, "Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not." We're not to fear. We're to trust God. And the disciples were afraid. And they're afraid because of the storm. Ever been in a storm? Wow, that's a dumb question. Asking Floridians, right? So we live in Florida. It's a storm state. We have hurricanes, tornadoes, strong thunderstorms, strong winds. We have hail. We have lots of lightning. I guess it's the lightning capital of the world. Loud thunder. And then the ultimate fear that we have is temperatures below 70 degrees. I mean, we're facing that, right? That's the... It's coming. It's coming. I mean, we stand up to a Cat 5 storm like this. Bring it on. We talk about 40 degrees and people are like, it's Armageddon. It's the end. It's the end. It's all over. But listen, it's scary, all right? It's scary. We're not used to that. I think it's been below freezing 5 times in the 11 years we've lived here. So I don't even like it at this point. But they're in a small boat on a raging sea. That's scary. That's a scary time. Maybe you've gone through a storm in your life. Abuse, abandonment, divorce, financial crisis, lost a job, a health scare, death, family problems, on and on and on and on and on. We have storms in our life. And storms are scary. They're scary times for us. They're scary times for everyone. And in a storm, the wind and waves are fierce, and it feels like you won't make it through. And that's where the disciples are in this storm. So let's jump back to Matthew 14. Verse 25 says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear." And so here comes something or someone walking on the water. They're fearful. And so is it a ghost? Is it a spirit? That, you know, they didn't know. They didn't know what it was. What could possibly be walking on the water? Again, because they weren't looking for Him. When I was 10 years old, my brother and I, we had a neighbor we lived in a trailer park at the time, and one of our neighbors, his uncle lived down the road, and so we went down to his uncle's house, and we were going to go camping. So we go out there that afternoon, that evening, we walk out, and as we go out to where we're camping, they've got it, his uncle, I think, set the tent up for us, had it out there. So we walk out by a cemetery. Anybody remember being 10 and having to walk by a cemetery? I can remember being in college, having to walk through a cemetery at the University of Georgia. Even in college, I was like, this ain't my favorite place, okay? I've grown out of that mostly, but, you know, it's a cemetery, so it's a little weird. So anyway, it ain't the dead ones that scare me, it's the live ones now. But anyway, at 10 years old, we go by that cemetery, and then we go down, we get us a little campfire going. It's the time of year, it's a winter time where it's a little cooler, and we got us a fire going, and it's getting dark earlier, probably getting dark at 7:30, okay? So early in the night, 7:30, 7 o'clock, it's getting dark. Guess where we're at? We're in the tent. 7:30 at night, camping out, we're already in the tent. We've got it zipped shut, and we're like scared. We're like, man, you know what? And then we hear it, okay? So we start hearing this rattle. And you know, 10-year-old, imagine now what's going through your mind. We just walked through the cemetery, and there's this rattle. And it's this stuff's rattling, making noise, and it's getting louder. And then we start hearing footsteps. So we're hearing footsteps, and we're hearing a rattle. You can imagine what we're thinking, right? There's a skeleton coming. We were scared to death. And it's getting louder, it's getting closer, and it comes and it stops right in front of the tent. And we're all in there like, you know, be like when you pop out and there's raccoons in the dumpster or something. We're in there like that. We're looking up, and it starts opening up. We're thinking, how do we get out of here? And it opens up, and he peels back, and it's his uncle sticks his head in. It's my neighbor's uncle, and he had a glass of iced sweet tea in a mason jar. So you can understand, when you're scared, your mind goes all kind of places. So you can understand the disciples now, they're in this storm, they're scared to death already, and now they see something they don't understand. Wouldn't you be scared in that boat? I would have been. I think I would be. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, now here's where it gets interesting. Jesus is already walking on water. He comes to him, he says, fear not. Fear not. And Peter, here's what he says. Now, who instigated the conversation? Who spoke first? Jesus did, right? Jesus speaks to them, says, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Fear not. It's me. It's me. I'm here. The Lord's here. And so Peter answers him. He responds to him. He says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. But there's not a period right there. He doesn't say, just command me to come to you, because the Lord said, come on, Peter. And he could dive in and swim to him. He could have, you know, they could have thrown him out of the boat out there to him. Any number of ways he could have gotten to the Lord. That's not what Peter asked. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me, tell me to come to you on the water. Now I'm telling you, Peter's faith's pretty strong. But his faith is strong in the fact that he even asked this, made this request. This is incredible. What he's asking Jesus to do, Jesus, if it's really you, command me to come to you walking on the water. Not just to come to you, but to come to you walking on the water. That's the request he's making. He's saying, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come. Not just to come, but to command me to walk on water. He's requesting God, Jesus, to command him to do a miracle right here. It's incredible. So you see, Peter asked God to call him out onto the water and to do something that he couldn't do. Peter asked God to challenge him to do something that for Peter was impossible, so that only God could get the glory and he would have an incredible testimony to share. But his heart's desire was to get closer to Jesus. That's what he wanted to do. He didn't want to be in that boat. Jesus wasn't in the boat. He wanted to get closer to Jesus. And that's really the point here. And so Jesus says, he said, come. And so it's like Jesus looks at him and says, all right, big boy. That's a big request. Come on. It's kind of like the pastor in Indiana who said, yeah, if you show up for that ordination service, we'll talk. I don't think he's coming. That's what he was thinking. He told me that later. He said, I didn't think you'd show up. Let's see. You talking big. Come on. You want to walk on water, Peter? Come on. That's what he says. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This is incredible. This is incredible, folks. This is not some kid's story. This is a real man named Peter who was in a real boat on a real sea. I've been on that body of water there at the Sea of Galilee. He was on that body of water in a real storm, and a real God in the form of Jesus Christ is on the water and calls him, and Jesus or Peter gets out of the boat. This real man walks on real water to a real Savior. He He walks to him. Jesus allows Peter here. He makes him walk on water. Peter jumps out of the boat. And when God says, come, look, if he says, go, I'll go. If he says, wait, I'll wait. He said to Peter, he said, come. And what did Peter do? He went. When God says, come, we ought to go. So Peter walks on water. And you just imagine that. I mean, just think about that. Peter walked on water. And I think this is a beautiful picture here of salvation. See, the other 11 disciples are fearful and they're hopeless in that boat. And if it sinks, or rather when it sinks, they're all going to drown. When that boat fails, and they're holding on to that boat like it's going to save their life, but it ain't going to save their life if the boat sinks. So they've got a false sense of security in the boat. You follow? We have some false senses of security sometimes. See, that boat's not going to save them, and they hold tight to the boat. They hold tight onto something that cannot save them. And so they're gripping onto the sides of the boat. And what they're doing is deceiving themselves that it will keep them safe through the storm. Don't we do that? Don't we hold on to certain things that we think will keep us safe through the storm? Maybe it's a bank account, a 401k. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a position. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an entertainment, whatever. We hold on to something. We think, well, this will get me through. This is what I need. This is what, and we hold on to things that we don't need to hold on to. We deceive ourselves. The other 11 are deceiving themselves. People hold on to all kinds of things for security, hoping that it'll save them. Good works. Hey, I'm a good person. I'm going to hold on to my good works. I'm a good person. I'll get to heaven that way. Or they think, well, I'm a church member. You know, I joined the church. When I was 3 years old, I joined the church. They let me join the church. They baptized me when I was three. And I made a profession. They baptized me, and I'm a member of the church now. And I've been a member of that church forever. So I'm going to heaven because I'm a member of the church. That's not going to get you to heaven. Or their heritage. You know, my parents are Christians. The Lord has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren, right? You come to Him as a child of God, or you don't come to Him at all. You don't come to Him because your mom and dad are Christians. You don't get in because they were born again. They're saved. They repented of sin and called on the name of the Lord, and they're Christians. You don't get in because of that. Well, my daddy's a pastor. Well, you don't get in for your daddy being a pastor, or granddaddy started the church, or my granddaddy built the church. And there's all kind of things people hold on to thinking that this is going to get me there. There's a lot of religion, right? You look around the world, and I just spent a weekend in a missions conference and just seeing the way people all around the world worship, and it's just religion, trying to work their way to heaven, trying to do something that'll get them to heaven. The Catholics say, you know, they baptize children, and it's washed away your sin, and now you're a part of the church, you're going to heaven, and you just go and confess your sins occasionally and, you know, do some penance or whatever. It's a works religion. Catholicism is a works religion. Anybody tells you they'll tell you, yeah, you're saved by grace through faith, but you got to do this. It's works. It's all about works, and they've got all these man-made things. You know what? We got the same thing in the Baptist. People say, I'm going to heaven because I'm a Catholic. You don't go to heaven being a Catholic. You don't go to heaven for being a Baptist. We think we got it. We got it right. I think we've got it right. I think we are the closest scripturally. That's why I'm a Baptist. I'm a Christian who's a Baptist because I think the Baptists are most in line with Scripture. Okay? But we don't get there because of being a Baptist. You won't get there for being a Catholic or Methodist, or you'll get there for being a Christian, being a born-again child of God. Church attendance don't get you there. I go to church. Well, going to church don't make you a Christian any more than going to Planet Fitness will make you into Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? It just doesn't work that way. Just to show up, Bob, I know you're disappointed, but it's not going to happen. You get a new dream. Get a new dream. None of these will save us from our sin. If we hold to these things, just like the disciples held to that little fishing boat, we will perish without Jesus. But Peter did what we all must do to be saved. He got out of that boat. Look, he got it out of that boat that could not save him. He got out of that boat that could not save him, and he went to the only one who could save him, Jesus Christ. It's a picture of salvation right here, folks. The other 11, they were scared to death. And they did, and they were going to die because they were scared to get out of that boat. And that's where they put their hope and their trust. Whatever that boat is for us, if we put it anywhere but Jesus, it's going to let us down. Jesus is the only one. And Peter got out and he went to Jesus. We must understand that we are a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you gotten out of your boat of false security? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone to save your soul? Friend, you must leave all hope of saving yourself, and you must go to Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to hear a story this morning. I want you to hear a story about a young man who recently, he got out of the boat. And I want him to come. Brian Day. Brian, there you are. Brian looked like between services he had to come from over there to over here before small group, and he looked like he had jumped out of the boat. He was soaked. It was pouring down.
Yeah, you got me.
Brian, I want you to share. We've talked a little bit. Before you came here, we talked about this a little bit, that you were trusting kind of in, you said you had a hope. I said, you know, what were you going to go to heaven? You said, well, I hope so. I hope I was going to go to heaven. And it was kind of up in the, kind of like, I think I'm a good person. You know, maybe I'll be good enough that I can tilt the scales and get, that was kind of your idea, right? Yeah. I was hoping I could get in. Tell me kind of your story about getting out of the boat.
Yeah, so I mean, what he's saying is exactly true. You know, before I was coming here, it was hope that when I passed a quarter in the pocket, and it came down to a coin flip. I just didn't know. I knew there was more that I needed to do. I was working on myself before I started coming to church. It was harder than it is now. I can say that. John 12:24 talks about, you know, when a grain of wheat falls and seeds are planted, wheat will grow. And I think, me personally, anybody in here who I've talked to, I've said it since day one. I started coming here because of the Charles. Months even, where I get out of that boat and I start to sink. But every time I go back and praise the Lord, then I start coming back up real easy. I mean, it's been a world of a difference in my life.
Well, you jumped out of that boat a couple months ago now. I guess it's been a couple months ago, right back here in my office, you jumped out of the boat, correct?
Yes.
You went to Jesus. You realized He was the only way. That boat wasn't, whatever boat you were resting in wasn't going to get you there. And you got out of that boat and went to the Lord. Amen? He saved your soul. Like you said, I mean, he even now, there's some times we start to sink, or we get our eyes off the Lord, we sink. But what does He do? He'll lift us up and pick us up. You realize Peter walked on water twice, right? He walked on water and then began to sink, and the Lord lifted him back up, and they walked together on the water back into the boat. It's pretty cool. So he went with him then into the boat. And then the Lord calms the sea. Everything's calm now. It's amazing how things change when Jesus gets in the boat. So if He ain't in the boat, you don't want to be in the boat. Right? You want to be out there where He is. But then when He's in the boat, where do you want to be? You want to be in the boat if that's where He's at. You want to be wherever He is. So the Lord's changed your life. Amen?
Amen.
And it's all about getting out of the boat, getting to Jesus. And you're growing every day. Amen?
Every day. Amen.
God bless you, man. Thank you. Great to hear. Man, Brian's on fire. It was his dad that made a profession of faith this morning in our class I was talking about. And so we're just seeing dominoes fall. His wife came to a true saving faith since he got saved. So you just see watching the dominoes fall in his family. And his brother was here this morning. And his best friends was here this morning. We're praying for them. So it's just incredible to see what God's doing. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Listen, I believe Charlie Kirk would say, if somebody got saved because of what happened to me, then that's a praise God moment.
Amen?
Amen? It's good stuff. Thank you, Brian. All right, so we're going to transition a little bit to believers. So you here that are believers, You already believe. There may be somebody here that doesn't know the Lord as your Savior. And I pray if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I pray today will be the day. I pray you won't leave here. We won't leave here this morning without getting that right. That you get out of the boat and get to Jesus today, okay? And we'll give you that opportunity in a little bit. But believers, we're going to face times in life when we have to make tough decisions. And it's either to stay in my comfort zone. You know what I'm talking about? We got our comfort zones. Those are another form of a boat. We're comfortable there. Or to get out of the boat and trust God and to get closer to Christ, to be obedient to Christ. And when that time comes, I pray that you'll have the faith and courage that Peter had and that you'll too get out of the boat like he did. Now, I want to look real quick at some of the blessings of getting out of the boat. See, when we get out of the boat, we get to see God do miraculous things. Faith unleashes the supernatural. And really, I could give that illustration again of Indiana Jones taking that step of faith, because it wasn't until he took that leap of faith that he saw what was there. And it's the same way in our lives. When we take a step of faith, when God says do something, and here's what we want. Well, I want to know exactly what you're going to do, God, beforehand. God doesn't always work that way. God may say, I'm not going to show you anything. This is what I want you to do. Do you trust me? And you step out and do it. And when we do that, man, here's what happens. He unleashes the supernatural. Peter did not experience the supernatural power of God that allowed him to walk on water until he trusted, as evidenced by his actions of getting out of the boat. His action, his faith was, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to get out of the boat. That was the action. And until he trusted, and it was evidenced by him getting out of the boat, him going to Christ, then he saw the supernatural. We get to see miraculous things happen when we trust God. We get to experience, not just witness, those miracles. We get to experience it. The other disciples witnessed Peter walking on water, and it absolutely had to amaze them. Can you imagine? Those 11, they told that story the rest of their life. They got to tell it. But they didn't experience it. They witnessed it, but only Peter experienced it. Only Peter could tell somebody what it was like to walk on water. It's not the same. It's not the same. I could say, I watched Peter walk on water, but only Peter could say, I walked on water, and let me tell you about it. You see, they could tell his story, but it wasn't their story. So we get to experience, not just witness, those miracles. We get stories to tell for the rest of our lives of what God has done for us. You know, other than Jesus, Peter's the only man to ever walk on water, except for me. I walked on water back, it was years ago, middle of winter. In Wisconsin, we drove out on the lake, and I thought, what are we doing? The ice was probably a foot deep, foot thick, and we got out, and I walked on water. I don't think it counts. I don't think it's the same. Peter's going to laugh at me if I tell him that, but liquid, let me put water in that sense, okay? Water that's in the state of a liquid. Peter's the only one to ever walk on that. Do you think he may have enjoyed telling that story? Talking about what Jesus did. He probably told that story the rest of his life. He told that story. We don't read about it. He didn't write about it. But I'm sure he was telling folks. And when he was testifying to what God had done. Anybody got a testimony tonight? Peter was raising his hand. Oh, man, not Peter again. Here we go. We're going to hear this story again. And now all these years in heaven, Peter's running by people in the streets in heaven. Hey, have I told you my story? Yeah, Peter, you told me 10 times. Oh, come on, let me tell you again. So that's what's going to happen. He's going to tell that. That's his story. He gets to praise God for what he did. And so I imagine him still telling that story up there today. Getting out of the boat grows our faith and gives us courage to face the next chapter and the next challenge in life. That's what it does. It grows our faith. 11 disciples were paralyzed with fear and missed the blessing of walking on water. Don't miss that blessing in your life. Don't miss that blessing. So I got some guys that are going to share testimonies. There he is. Thought you'd snuck out on me, Chris. Come on up, Chris. These guys are going to share different stories, different testimonies of things of situation in their life where there was a boat, whatever that boat was, and they had to step out of that boat and go to the Lord. They're going to share that with us.
So it was 2019. I had taken a week off of work. It was way by Him. He removed that from me, and it has changed my life.
Yeah, clarity, you were just trusting the counsel in me. That was it, right?
That's
just
you.
The counsel.
You're my shepherd, so I was leading.
Yeah, well,
lead me down that path. So I was.
Always verify with Scripture, okay? Yes. Always verify with Scripture. So, Chris, your boat was a boat that was, it really had you in kind of a prison, a boat of anxiety and fear and stress, and I mean, it really was a boat of fear. And the only way to get to the Lord was to get out of that boat, right?
I think prison was that way. So, if there was a jail boat, that was the jail boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And getting out of the boat changed your life.
Praise God.
Amen. You never regretted jumping out of the boat, right?
Not
all right. Amen. Look, you got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat to whatever that boat is. You got to get out of it and get to the Lord. Rob, if you'll come on up here. Share your story, brother.
So, over the past couple of years.
You can come over here, man. You can come over. You can come over here. It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was standing over there. ladders to homeless people on the side of the street and just talking about ways that we can be better men. And yeah, it's just been a great change, and it's all because of him leading me there.
Now, you'd shared on Wednesday night about a pie. You like pie?
Yeah.
Pumpkin
pie? Got a pie. Somebody gave me a pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
Debbie baked
me a pumpkin
pie.
Everybody here wants a slice of that, so it's going to be the itty-bitty slices, okay?
No, see, if you learned anything, you would know that I got to retract from giving everybody pie.
That was what you did, wasn't it? And so the story he gave was that all the demands in his life, everybody was getting little bitty pieces of the pie. And God's slice was too small, and Corey's slice was too small, and his family's slice was too small. And so he had to change some things on that. So I don't know if when you were making that change, if that like that was in your mind, that all of this, and this is a key part of changing the pie structure here. But it really was. After the fact, looking back on it now, you can see very clearly how, I mean, tell us real quick how it has changed your life in your relationship with God, how it's made your life.
The job
sure, yeah, yeah. Are you closer to Jesus for getting out of the boat?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just me and Ben talking about things for an 8-hour workday. I mean, we're sitting there, like, at a construction site with, you know, other trades around, and me and him are still talking about what scripture that we listened to in a podcast on the way there. We're sharing things that we deal with as men seeking God. Just that brotherhood and fellowship there is huge. But being able to be home for dinner, being around my family, and being here more often has just been developing that. And that's what God was working at. He, you know, realized that, hey, you're here, but I can get you to here if we make this change.
Love it. Doesn't make sense to get out of the boat. That's what he just said, right? Didn't make sense for Peter to get out of the boat. What an idiot. You jump out of the boat in the middle of a storm. And yet he walked on water. God took him closer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you, man. All right, I got one more that's going to share a testimony with us. Trey Epperson, come on up here. Share with us.
felt good. There was a lot of people in that boat. But God was convicting us and called us to step out of that boat. And I wish I would have made that decision immediately, initially. Took me a few days to wake up, a couple weeks to wake up, but we made that decision. I think God gave us clarity and a peace of mind and honored and grew our walk spiritually because of it.
Tell me all the ways you regret getting out of the boat, getting out of that boat. Tell me all the ways you regret that now.
Not one bit.
All right. Good. And I listen, don't regret that you didn't do immediately. I think sometimes the Lord lets us make those decisions so we can work through it. And man, it's such a better commitment when we work through that instead of just flippantly. Yeah. You worked through it. You made a decision about that. It wasn't just like, all right, well, we're not going to do that. You had to work through that, and you grew through that. So do y'all see, tell me how you see growth in your family because of that decision, not just now, but what do you foresee growth with your family in the years to come because of that decision?
Well, a lot of it is going to lead to time being here instead of at the baseball fields. And, you know, I've heard statistics that, you know, you're more likely to get struck by lightning and bit by a shark on the same day to play Major League Baseball. Right? We all know there's gonna come a judgment day. So it's more important for us to be here as a family, especially the children, and grow up in the church than to be a baseball team.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Thank you, Trey. Thank you. Listen, I'll brag on that family because those two, from day one, they've come. I wish I'd have had more input in this, but I didn't. I've inherited them. But, man, that's a young couple that they're doing it right. They're just doing it right. And I praise God for that. And that's a great decision to come to. You know, your kids are always going to, there's great value in what you've done. You've said to them what's most important. That's what you, more than anything else, you've said to them, this is important. Because there'll come a day when you don't do that. If you don't do that, where they're going to go, well, Dad, church wasn't important when we had ball, so why is it important now? Why can't I go with my friends to so-and-so? So I think it's an incredible growth opportunity and commitment for our young families. And I encourage all our families to make that kind of a commitment. Are you ready to get out of the boat? Are you ready to walk on water? Because if you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. And if so, you know, you've got to do that. So the question, I guess, to this morning now is, do you have the courage to get out of the boat? Are you courageous enough to do what God is calling you to do? Will you leave your boat of false security and go to Jesus for salvation? You know, I believe I believe there's someone here today who had not accepted the free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we actually had two people raise their hand in the first service, and one of them thus responded in faith later in the next service. And so I praise the Lord for that. And there may be someone here this morning that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. So I'm going to do something I don't often do, but I'm going to ask you if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to ask you a simple question. I just want to ask this question for you. Do you know, I guess this is the question. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I'm not really sure exactly everything you're talking about. I'm not sure of that. But here's what I do know. I've never been born again. I've never been saved. I've not trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, as I've heard it said. Because I really, if you know what that means, if you really fully know what that means, then you'd be clear on that. But you say, Pastor, I'm not sure about that. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you would just confess to me, no one else is looking on, me and the Lord, and just say, I don't know that I'm saved because I don't know what exactly you're saying. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you would just say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't have full assurance of that. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just slip your hand up. Again, nobody's looking on but me and the Lord. If you just slip your hand up. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Because I'm going to pray for you, okay? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. I saw two hands that went up. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. But my prayer is not going to save you. But I'm going to pray that you'll have courage to step forward when we have our invitation in a moment. And let us walk you through the Scriptures and introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The Bible, John says, these things I've written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. You don't have to leave here this morning wondering. You can leave here knowing that you have eternal life. And if the Lord has burdened your heart already in that way, oh man, I believe He's working and wants to save you today. Father God, I pray for these two, this young man and this lady that have raised their hand, that by raising their hand, they've said, I don't know that I'm saved. Lord, we want them to know, and you've made a way that they can know. And I pray, Lord, that right now that you would continue to speak to their heart. And I pray that when we have our invitation here in a few moments, that they'll step out and just come forward and say, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. God, I pray that you would speak to them in that way and give them courage to step out of the boat of whatever that false security maybe they had coming in here today. But they would step out of that boat to come to Jesus. And I pray you'll just save their soul today. In Jesus' name, I pray that. Now you can look up. Christians, do you have courage to overcome fear of the unknown and get out of the boat? You know, Jesus will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Amen? Whatever He calls us to do, He's going to be there with us. He'll never let you fall. Peter took his eyes off the Lord. He began to sink, but the Lord raised him right back up. We'll have those times. Brian spoke of that. Times off, since he's been saved, where he gets his eyes off the Lord a little bit and begins to sink. He calls on the Lord, and the Lord just lifts him right back up. The Lord is going to walk with us through whatever it is. He's not going to forsake us. If he's always with us, and He is, then you can always be courageous when faced with a fearful situation. He's always with us. We know that. So we can always be courageous when faced with a fearful situation. Do you have the courage to obey Him? Do you have courage to tell others about Him? Do you have the courage to turn from temptation and sin? Do you have the courage to live a holy life dedicated to God? Ask God to challenge you to do something that is so impossible that only God can get the glory, and you'll have a story to tell for the rest of your life. God, make me a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. God, make me a preacher. God, make me a missionary. God, put me in the right place of service today, right here in this church. And I'll tell you this, you're never too young and you're never too old to make those decisions. You're never too old to get out of the boat and go to the Lord. Father God, I pray that this morning, As we respond in a moment, those that need to be saved, God, I pray they'll step out and respond. Come forward and let someone take the Word of God and share the gospel with them. But Lord, we as believers this morning, we're in our boats. There's boats of security. There's boats of comfort. There's boats of entertainment. There's boats, whatever boat we're in this morning, Lord, if it's hindering us from being close to you, if it's hindering us from being closer to you, if it's hindering us from being as close as you want us to be, whatever that boat is, God, I pray, God, you give us courage to get out of the boat and walk on the water to you. Lord, the testimonies we've heard this morning is when we do that, we're going to get closer to you. We get out of that boat. God, would you just bless and work and move? Speak to our hearts. As we have this invitation in a moment, as we open up the altar, it's an opportunity to come. Lord, if folks come this morning, maybe they just need to pray. Maybe they need to pray for courage for a particular area. Maybe they know what the boat is, and they're just praying for courage to get out of that boat. God, whatever we need to bring before you this morning, whatever we need you to do, whatever you want to do in our hearts, I pray that we would just respond to you right now in obedience, humbly obeying you and responding to you. God, move in this time now. We praise you. We thank you. We give you the glory for it in Jesus' name.